Tuesday, April 22nd, 1986. The preacher is Dr. August Suoflo. The sermon text is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The sermon theme is, The Church Is.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I should like to read a portion of the epistle taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the people of the church in Thessalonica who belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours. We always thank God for you all and always mention you in our prayers. For we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. Dear friends and colleagues, several years ago, one of our very popular journals published an illustrated series of articles on the popular images of the church. What did people think the church actually was? And here was a whole series. Here was the ice cream social, where the pastor was in charge of all the fun and games, and the activities and the fellowship never ended. The second image that was presented was that of a reform school, where you gathered all the bad people because the good people didn't have to be there to be improved and corrected. The third came in the appearance of a supermarket. The pastor was there with several assistants, and he helped people to buy the merchandise which they felt they needed at that particular time. A fourth one was interesting because here the pastor was dressed in a cowboy outfit. He was riding a horse, a spirited horse, and he was trying to corral people into his Western corral. The more he gathered, the better was his victory and his achievement. But the one that really struck home is that which was pictured as the great county courthouse. Here people came to pay their taxes from time to time. They had their births registered, their marriages solemnized and legalized, and everything was pretty dark inside because during the week, only the pigeons lived there. But for the rest of the time, there were people who would come in to take care of some legal and some financial and some personal problems. And assuredly, they had some very valuable records because the genealogists would come there occasionally to check up on their antecedents. The building suggested law and order. Even though the town changed radically around it, the old red brick courthouse stood there, stately, like some old grandmother that was always there to help people when they were in need. But you know, in all of these images, there was something missing. There was something missing very radically, and that was the gospel. As you think in terms of the church that you will be serving someday, and as you think in terms of the role that you will be playing as a pastor, we probably cannot find a better illustration, a better guide than that which St. Paul gives us in his first words in his letter to the Christians at Thessalonica. St. Paul had stopped there only briefly on his second missionary journey. Silas and Timothy were with him, and we would consider them a very strong missionary triumvirate. Thessalonica held a special role because it served as the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia and was vitally important because of the famous harbor that it boasted, and as a result, it became a very recognized commercial center. But beyond that also, it was quite a communication center between the East and the West. As Paul and Silas and Timothy arrived, they conducted services on three Sabbaths until the persecution became so strong that they finally had to leave. And as we have recorded elsewhere, the history of the congregation was marked with severe persecution, with an opposition which often could not be stopped, the suffering of people, and people with a lot of problems. And yet, after that short stay, St. Paul writes back and tells them, to the people of the church in Thessalonica who belong to God. What a wonderful effect the gospel had upon these people. They were no longer maintaining a courthouse or operating an ice cream social or playing games of cowboys and cattle, but they were now the people of God. And St. Paul continues, we always thank God for you all and always mention you in our prayers. What a marvelous thing to be saying when you have been separated from those with whom you work closely and intimately. You have put your faith into practice, St. Paul says. The gospel was at work in you, and how you demonstrated brotherly love. But even more than that, you have made how your love has made you work so hard, not only enough to get by, but the gospel was always compelling, driving, and pulling people on. Because, as St. Paul tells us, your hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a very firm hope which cannot be shaken. In fact, St. Paul tells us, all those people speak about how you received us when we visited you and how you turned away from idols to God to serve the true and living God and to wait for his Son to come from heaven. His Son, Jesus Christ, whom he raised from death and who rescues us from God's anger that is coming. And so they demonstrated a vigorous and a joyous Christianity, a life together, a living of the gospel, where the fame spread throughout all neighboring communities, not because they were engaged in debate and in dissension, but because they lived the gospel. And so, what happens when the gospel is proclaimed through the power of the Spirit has become evident in this little congregation so many years ago. When they accepted the gospel, they became little Christs to one another. And that's the church at work. It is God's church. It is God's word, the gospel. It is God's power at work. Whatever the image is that you may have as you try to peer into an uncertain future, note that your task is that of a proclaimer of the gospel in its truth and purity. And then let the Spirit go to work. Let the power of the Holy Ghost become the power in the lives of people to overcome persecution, to overcome bitterness and hatred and evil. Where brotherly love is working, as St. Paul tells us it did in Thessalonica, in imitation of God, in imitation of the love of Christ. Where the example of Christian living indeed also attracts hearers to the gospel. And may the record which you and I write, whether in the weeks still remaining here as community or in the fields where some of you will be going, or as any other kind of separation may take place between those of us gathered here this morning. But as we leave, that it will be also written of us, we always thank God for you all, and always mention you in our prayers. For we remember before God the Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. That's the church, and that's our role in it. It belongs to God, and we are God's people. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.